We're going to talk about hope today. And mainly focus on verse 3, but to understand the flow of this text, I'd like to start to read from verse 1. So from verse 1 down to verse 5. This is the word of living God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. May God bless our reading and hearing of His Word. South Korea, where I'm from, has had the highest suicide rate in the industrialized world for 13 consecutive years. Around 13,000 people committed suicide every year in Korea. Globally, 800,000 people died from suicide every year. On average of over 2,000 people per day take their own life. There are many causes. Psychological despair, physical pain, economic difficulties, family problems, and so on. Why and what makes people take their own life? Also, we can think about the present moment. As we and our world are facing the COVID-19 pandemic, many people are suffering from fear, worry, anxiety, stress, and depression. I read that anti-anxiety medication prescriptions have spiked 34% during this pandemic in the United States. During this time, many felt as if all hope was lost. All human beings cling to some kind of hope. When the hope is cut off, many people fall into despair. One pastor says, despair is inconsolable because it comes from losing an ultimate thing. When you lose the ultimate source of your meaning or hope, there are no alternative source to turn to. It breaks your soul. Hope is the anchor that stops the drift. And if suicide is the result of lost hope, where did the suicidal persons place their ultimate hope? What was the source of their hope? This morning, I want to show you the living hope you have in Christ from today's passage. In verse 1, the recipients of Peter's letter were called as the elect pilgrims. The pilgrim life is one of the main themes and is repeated many times in this letter. They were strangers in Asia Minor, just like all Christians are. We should be strangers and pilgrims while we live here on earth, because this is not our homeland. Even the time of which Peter wrote this letter was the early 60s, when sufferings and persecution for Christians were escalating in the territories of the Roman Empire. Nero's great persecution of Christians were coming. So the Apostle Peter talks about a living hope in the letter to the saints in Asia Minor. And the living hope the Apostle Peter talks about in this letter is unlike any other hope non-Christians hold to in its foundation, nature, and motive. This living hope the Apostle Peter brought up in this letter sustained the Christians in Asia Minor in the first century through the difficult trials they were facing. And this message is very much applicable to us today who live here in the United States or all over the world. Through this message, we are to learn the principle that as Christians, we are called to praise God because of a living hope. Pilgrims, praise God because of the living hope. The living hope we are going to look at this morning flows from Jesus Christ. We begin this morning with our first heading, the hope found in the past. The hope founded in the past. Verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you hear? We Christians have the living hope because of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. We have a living hope today because of Christ's resurrection from death. Now, to say that all human beings cling to hope is not to say that all human beings have a true and living hope. Hope sometimes is falsely grounded, and thus it fails. However, a true and living hope Peter is talking about is the one that is unfailing. The living hope is implanted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ's death and resurrection is a suitable offering to appease the wrath of God and is a firm basis upon which we can be declared just before the Father. As well, in 1 Corinthians 15, we see namely the defeat of death and Christ being raised to life as the first fruit of the resurrection of his people. Christ is presented as the conqueror of our enemies, death and sin. By our sin in Adam, death was assigned us as part of the divine curse. But by defeating the power of death, Jesus rendered it powerless over his people. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, then the apostles were liars, and our faith is in vain. If Christ is not risen, we are still held guilty for our sins. No forgiveness has occurred. Christ, in his death and resurrection, broke the power of sin and triumphed over the darkness of this world. If you are united to Him, you are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into His own kingdom. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, return unto the Lord. Turn back from your sins. Christ died for you, and He was raised up from the dead for you. He will remove all your transgressions, and you can find the real hope in Him. Again, the living hope cannot be derived from any other sources except the resurrection of Christ. I also want to remind you of David's words in Psalm 3:7, where he cries out, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked." For me, this psalm definitely applies to Christ, His resurrection. In Greek, the word translated arise here is a compound word, anastasis. Ana means again, and stasis means standing or rising. So the direct translation would be rising again. So in Psalm 37, David is calling Jesus Christ, who is risen again from the dead, who break all our enemies and must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. Thus, there is no hope without Christ, because His resurrection brings living hope into our life. Without Jesus Christ, our hope is in vain. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something difficult to believe. It was hard to believe for those who lived 2,000 years ago, and it is difficult for those who live today. However, the resurrection of Christ is a reality upon which our faith stands. Just like this letter, 1 Peter, that the Apostle Peter wrote was a real letter written and sent to a real people living in real place. So this story of a true man and true God risen from the dead is real. Do you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? We must. For this is the source of our living hope. Our hope is founded in this truth, the resurrection of Christ in time and history. That is great Christ-centered hope. Now, how does this living hope apply to us who live in the present? What does it mean that we are holding a living hope in Christ? What is the importance of a living hope for us in the present time? We will now consider this living hope apply in the present. Our second heading this morning is the hope applied in the present. If you go to chapter 2, verse 15 of this letter, Peter is saying that people around you might ask you what the reason you have for the hope that is in you. How can you hold on to that hope although you live in this harsh world with people who hate you and persecute you? Like me, you also have problems and you are struggling with financial problem, health conditions, your children who break your heart, and all things related to COVID-19. But where does your hope come from? That's what Peter is talking about in chapter 2. People around you might ask, and we will let them know. We will let them know with not only holding fast to our hope in Christ, but praising the Lord and exhorting Him who is the source of our hope. Look at verse 3 with me again. It begins by saying, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter calls us to praise Him. As the people of God who hope in Him, we are called to praise Him. And we can find 3 reasons in verse 3 why we praise God while we walk in this life. First, praise the God who has begotten us again. I spoke earlier about how the word resurrection is a compound word in Greek. Here, the expression of our regeneration is also a compound word, to beget plus again. The text says, God and Father who has begotten us again. And this compound word, to beget again, is only found in 1 Peter, in whole Bible. Only Peter used this word in the entire Bible. We are born again through Christ rising again. So we praise the God who has begotten us again. That's kind of a beginning. Second, praise the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And He became our Father as well, because He adopted us as His children. We are no longer fatherless. God is indeed the Father to the fatherless. We are given the right to call the Holy One Abba, Father. And He look at and care us as His children. So we praise God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. Third and last, the God who has abundant mercy. Again in verse 3, according to His mercy and His loving kindness to you and me, He has begotten us again. He became our Father, and now we hold a living hope. We don't deserve it. We deserve God's wrath and punishment only. Yet, we obtained His abundant mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on us abundantly. That's why we can never stop praising our Lord. Now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in You. For You, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Christ in You, the hope of glory. We never stop praising our Lord. Praise Him as the people who hope in Him. It's easier said than done. We are to praise God in all circumstances of life. That's the point here. Even in the trials of life, even in the persecution, even when we lose the things that we hold dear in life, even when we are experiencing something that none of us have ever experienced, and also when we have questions that revolve around life and death, increased fear and anxieties, the core is for us to to remember to praise God in all circumstances. But remember, our hope is not like a rice cake in the picture. What did I say? Rice cake in the picture? That's actually same meaning of a pie in the sky in Korean. So what does it mean? Pie in the sky or rice cake in the picture? They are things that have no real implication for today. It's an expression for something good that is unlikely to happen. Contrary to a pie in the sky or rice cake in the picture, however, the living hope we have is a true hope. It's a real hope. So we praise our God in all circumstances in our life. Verse 4 and 5 continues to talk about this real hope, the living hope. Especially, they explain the nature of the living hope and nature of the inheritance reserved in heaven for us, which is incorruptible, undefiled. Listen to verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our third and last heading is the hope for the future. To begin with, turn in your Bible with me to Acts 16. Acts 16:16-24, which we already read. Here, you see one story on Paul and Silas' missionary journey. Paul and Silas met a slavery girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Look at verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of a profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. After Paul expelled the demon from the slavery girl, her masters realized that their hope of making money was gone. After they lost their hope, they became angry, accused Paul and Silas, and stood against God. The same Greek word hope in this text is used in 1 Peter today we are studying. However, the hope they held to was not the same as ours. This is one example of dead hope, which is failing and falsely grounded. The masters of a slavery girl followed dead hope. Now, of course, we need clothes, food, and money, and so on. A stable job and a comfortable house are important. We don't deny that. Don't make it wrong. But this is reality of our life. However, the problem is that our hearts are too easily inclined toward those things to give us hope in this earthly life. Remember what Paul said to the church in Colossians. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When we think of the Christians living in the first century in very harsh land. They were struggling with the matters of life and death. Today, we concern ourselves with what board games are playing tonight, what makers of a cell phone is better, etc. Now, I'm not asking you to live like a monk, but I am asking you to consider where your heart is. Is your heart inclined toward earthly thing or heavenly thing? The inheritance God promised His people is incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. We should remember this inheritance reserved for us in heaven that is so much greater than any inheritance of this world. There is no ultimate hope in earthly things. We should remember that all earthly things will be fade away and defiled. As a great theologian, Gerhardus Voss preached this same verse. He said, the hope Peter refers to is the hope of the future kingdom of God, the final state of blessedness, the hope of heaven, as we would call it. This inheritance, this hope, provides for us the motivation to live this earthly life as well. We can live in this world today because we are sustained by His promise day by day, longing for our inheritance reserved in heaven. Not only the inheritance, but our hope is also guided in the future by power of God. It's God's power that makes our salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The last point in this verse is about our future, our perfect salvation, our glorification in the future. Again, remember that the original recipients of Peter's letter were persecuted Christians in Asia Minor. They were facing the possibility of death because of their faith. So the matter of death was most likely in forefront of their minds. It's very likely that they had fears about dying. But more than that, they were probably afraid of the uncertain future after this life. To those with such fears, Peter confirmed that God, by His power, is keeping their salvation. The verb to keep in verse 5 of chapter 1 is a military word in the original text. What is the significance of this military word? To keep. This is another actually reason we can praise Him with hope in Christ. Think about soldiers in the war. If the government does not care of injured soldiers in a war, or the war bereaved who will fight for the country, all soldiers should be assured of the care they will receive before they go to the war. In like manner, Peter is showing the very certain future of Christians. Those who face martyrdom, as well as those of us who are in spiritual warfare. Here is God's promise. At this point, let me ask you one question. Have you ever doubted God's power which keeps your salvation in eternal security? We can be weary in our faith to God, but we do not lose our salvation. Listen to what Calvin says. How weak soever we may then be, Yet our salvation is not uncertain because it is sustained by God's power. As then we are begotten by faith. So faith itself received its stability from God's power. Hence it is security, not only for the present, but also for the future. Congregation, you are secure. You have security. He will not allow a hair to fall from your hair or a sparrow to fall from the sky outside of His will, His fatherly, loving will for your life. Your state in Him brings eternal hope, eternal comfort, and eternal peace, no matter what goes on around you. Christians, we responded to God's calling and the Spirit's conviction by and through faith. Even this faith was empowered by God. Also, our continued faith in God is the evidence of God's keeping power. He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it to the end. Peter is assuring Christians that God's power, His abundant power, will lead them, lead us, lead you into eternal life. As stated in Psalm 66:9, truly He holds our soul in life. Thus, we can stand firmly on the assurance of God's power and our last salvation. This is the living hope, guided in the future by the power of God. For me, the word hope always recalls its antonym word, depression, or desperation, or despair. And this also brings to mind one scene of a Pilgrim's Progress. One day, Christian and his friend, Hopeful, are seized by the owner of the meadow, the giant despair. Giant despair drags them to his stronghold, Doubting Castle. You might remember that scene. At the nasty and stinky dungeon, do you remember what the wife of Giant Despair, whose name was Defeatance, suggested to Christian and his friend that he and his friend might get out of this place? Take your own life. Anyhow, you are going to die. Then, what did the Giant Despair supply to Christian? The knife, the rope, and the poison. It's your choice to use one of them. This is the world where we are living now. When we live in this world without hope, we will meet despair. Then our final choice might be the knife, the rope, or the poison. This is often the ending for people who do not have hope or who lose their hope as they face difficulties and problems in this life. A Christian and Hopeful at the Doubting Castle did not take their lives, but they hoped in God and prayed to Him, and God answered. Christian suddenly remembered, what a fool am I? I have a key in my bosom, my pocket, called Promise. That will open any lock in Doubting Castle. As Bunyan the author of this book noted, precious promise. The promise of God in Christ, a life of faith. How often do we regret God's great and precious promises in Christ, while doubts and despair keep us prisoners? And you may recall the last chapter of this book, where Christian and Hopeful crossed the river of death on foot to Mount Zion and the Celestial City. Hopeful was the one who helps Christian whenever he fails in his sins and does not see God's promise. He was there until finishing the race. So again, I urge you to cling to the living hope you have in Christ until the day we enter into the gates of heaven. The resurrection of Christ in the past brought this hope to you. The inheritance in heaven makes you hold fast to the living hope. The power of God will complete your salvation in the future. So, we should praise Him while we live in the present. This is our hope. This is the implication of our hope for the whole of a Christian life. So, pilgrims, praise God because of this living hope. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, you have delivered us from the power of darkness, from all the tribulations of this life through Christ, who has become the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn for a new creation. Help us trust you in the midst of our doubt, suffering, and despair. Help us confess that our hope is in you. You are my only hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.